Welcome to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical and apply these medicines to the recovery from addiction and trauma. Hello, and thanks for joining me on another edition of the Sober Shaman Podcast. This one is entitled Addiction is a Spell, a different path to the core of the problem. And I'm really looking forward to examining this idea of addiction is a spell. I've touched on it a number of times in the past, but I want to dive into it a little deeper as I've been working with some clients who this has helped, and we can get into some specific language and how things work. So here we go. Addiction is a spell. And I'm going to be following along with the written portion just to keep me on track here. And the opening quote is from Snow White. Mirror, mirror on the wall, who is the fairest of them all? The evil queen asks the magic mirror, right? And what does the mirror reply? Famed is thy beauty, majesty. So let's go into this, the idea of spells. And how does that work with the idea of addiction, and why am I choosing this? Is it outdated language, or does it apply? And how does it apply to this day and age and the average person? So one of the things I do is I try to make things into plain English. And since the beginning of my recovery, which is when I started professionally having my first license in body work and helping other people in recovery, is, Randy, what are you doing? And how does this help me with addiction? Is I have to explain it. What am I doing? And how does it help with their recovery and in addiction? And so I have to explain it to the person who is either on my table or at the other end of my Zoom call or sitting across from me at the table. Or when I was in addiction treatment centers, I had to explain it for insurance reimbursement to medical and mental health colleagues that were my partners in treating these people in the field. And, you know, insurance reimbursement, that was important. We had accreditation agencies coming in. What exactly are you doing? Everybody wants a different answer. And everybody wants an answer that applies to them and to their view of the world, whether this is a medical view, a legal view, or a common, plain English kind of view. We all want that. How does this work for me? And so the idea that addiction is a spell. Let me explain. So the Merriam-Webster definition of spell, I like this one that applies to what we're doing here, is a spoken word or form of words held to have magic power. B, a state of enchantment. I love that word. I think that really applies, enchantment. So let me do those two again. So spell, the definition is a spoken word or form of words held to have magic power. That applies to exactly what we're talking about. And B, a state of enchantment. When I give this definition to clients, I can see their heads nodding, and it makes some sense, and it resonates. It holds a frequency of truth that causes some kind of harmonization in them. Yeah, you know, there's something about this. So it's not a complicated language. It makes sense. And still, you know, we have this idea here in the West of what is a spell. It's this you know, Harry Potter thing with a wand. And no, it's simpler than that. So let me make this very simple. Let me break it down like this and how this exactly applies to everything that we do in the work that I do with clients, whether it's in treatment centers, one-on-one, on a Zoom call. It gets to the heart of the problem, from my view, from a different path. Here we go. Addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie. This lie is a belief. So let's go through those three things. Addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie. And this lie is a belief. So all three of those, spell, lie, and belief, they're interchangeable. And they each offer their own connotations, implications, and ways of viewing what is going on. So this idea of a spell, it implies, without having to say anything or just reading those, that definition, those two things about a spoken word or form of words held to have magic power and a state of enchantment, it implies that there is some kind of other, some kind of force that is like a snowball rolling downhill. It's gathering momentum. Or I like to say, when we as addicts enter into and participate in the cycle of addiction, it's like jumping into a fast-moving river. You've entered the current. It's going to be hard to go against this momentum of the current, of the snowball rolling downhill, once the decision has been made to enter into the cycle of addiction. It has its own force and momentum. This is that idea of a spell. It has, okay, I'm participating and something is happening to me that I'm being carried away. All right. Really don't have to explain that too much, right? Now, this idea of a lie, okay, it's a spell. Addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie. And this lie is a belief. Let's tackle those two things at the same time. Lie and belief, because as I talk about all the time in my Alchemist Recovery program, the program that I used for 13 years in treatment centers and in my private practice and in clinics and teaching, that was the name of it, Alchemist Recovery. And the 52 lessons, one lesson per week for an entire year. If somebody wants to jump into it as an aftercare program, I use it with my clients now as a reference material. There's videos, PDFs, exercises, journeys, shamanic rites work. One of the things that I get to, that I strive to get to with every client, is this underlying belief at the core of the problem. What psychology calls a limiting core belief. Now, it's not just any limiting core belief. It is the limiting core belief, where when TALL, as I say in the program, trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss, when these incidents in life cause us to believe one thing before the incident, and we are changed forever because of the incident. It flips our belief system. It is an experience that changes our belief. Trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss. As time goes on, I'm really liking my acronym of TALL, T-A-H-L, for those four types of heartbreak and fright, as we call in Chinese medicine, that change us. because of the use of the term trauma, has changed over the last 10, 15 years. I would have people reject it because it was too strong a term, and it swung the other way into now everybody's using it. I very specifically talk about these incidents of toll that change a person forever. One way before, another way after, trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss. And here's the gig. They happen to everybody. If you've made it to adulthood, you have had incidents of heartbreak to get there. It's just the way it is. So what happens in an addiction? What happens with an addiction of any type, whether it's a quote-unquote healthy addiction supported by society, or it is an obvious addiction that is detrimental and leading to the downfall of the addict and anybody else in his wake, is this. From the incident of toll, trauma, abuse, heartbreak, and loss, what ends up happening is we are changed forever, and somehow, some way, we make that incident personal, personalized. And instead of, I have had an incident of extreme physical abuse happen to me, a healthy way to respond to that in the moment and or soon afterwards would be to acknowledge the incident, talk about the incident, deal with the incident, digest the incident however I need to, by seeing it as a physical abuse trauma that happened to me. It's a physical abuse that happened to me. Those are two different things. I am not what has happened to me. So what happens is, let's just use physical abuse. Let's say it's happened to me, and out of that comes the personalized belief, I am weak. Some examples I run through pretty regularly. If I have sexual abuse happen to me, I am dirty. If I have some kinds of heartbreaks and losses that have happened to me, I am unlovable. It is my fault. Somehow, some way, I take that incident of toll, I personalize it into an part of my identity, and it is identified as this I am statement. That was a pretty quick way of me going through this process, which can take as simple as what I'm talking about right now for a person to get it, or it could take a long time for a person to nail down, even though they might understand, remember, and recognize the forces that are at play here. No judgment. We all do this in our own ways. Of course, denial comes into play. Of course, our level of awareness and memory and recall come into play. But the bottom line is, this is how it works. This limiting core belief, this belief that right here, right now, in some way, I am broken. I am not enough. That's at the core of the addiction. And we need to get to that. Now, the gig is, let's go with the I am weak. Let's go with that first one. If that is my belief, very quickly, what a belief does is it divides into good or bad. It makes a judgment. So, obviously, limiting core beliefs will be thrown in the category of bad. So, if my bad limiting core belief is I am weak, well, what kind of plan am I going to come up with, right, to make myself feel better? I'm going to come up with some kind of plan that makes me feel strong, naturally. Now, because it's coming out of this belief, there's a cycle, the cycle of addiction. It goes through every phase, and if it is not recognized and identified for exactly what it is at any part of this cycle, which the cycle can be broken at any one of these phases, it will reinforce itself and repeat itself. Let me go around the cycle with a common example of, let's say, for whatever reason of tall, the belief is one of the most common ones of, I am a loser. It usually comes out and is reminded to the person by others involved, whether they are quote-unquote loved ones or them closest. That will come out in more colorful ways, right? They'll put adjectives to it, but let's just go with the simplicity of I am a loser. So if that is the belief, and I have a plan to make myself feel better, I'm going to come up with a plan of, I want to feel better. I don't like feeling like a loser. I want to be a winner, right? So if I enter into the cycle of addiction with my plan as a reactive, as a reaction, as a reactive power to that belief, I just jump into the idea that I want to be a winner. So how do I make myself feel better? As a, speaking for myself personally, as a coke addict, I like to go fast. I have an idea. I'm going to be a winner. I'm going to prove to everybody that I'm a winner. All right, I got a plan. I'm going to go get some coke and I'm going to share it with everybody. That's right. I'm going to be the man tonight. So if that's the idea and that's the plan, then we go into the next phase of the cycle, the fire phase, and I go into acquisition phase, which is fire. So, all right then, I am going to get that coke. I know I've got the plan. I've got the acquisition, the fire. I'm going to get it. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make this plan a reality. The next phase, the earth part of the cycle, turning it into reality. I have the belief. I have the plan. I've acquired the goods, and now it is time to use. I go through all of the rituals of using. So what do? I plop that bag of coke down into the middle of the party, and I prove to everybody in that moment, I am not a loser. Look at this. Hell, I'm a winner. I'm going to share. I've got some for everybody. I call this the magic moment, because it's not in the actual doing of our drug or action of choice. It is this magic moment before the doing that it silences, it satiates, it quiets the belief. It proves it to be wrong. In the magic moment, addiction works. And we remember this, regardless of how fleeting a moment this is. So here's the gig. The magic moment quickly descends into the using, which, in the case of coke, generally quickly descends into it being gone and the night is done. All right, the party is over. We move into the next phase, the metal phase. It's time for consequences. So what happens when I wake up in my car, in the parking lot of my place of employment? I'm looking at the ATM withdrawal slips that I don't remember doing on the floor, and where are my pants? And who is this stranger in the back seat? And what happens as my coworkers walk past me? It's, what have I just done? By enacting that belief of I am a loser, by engaging in every phase of the cycle of addiction, which gains momentum and rolls downhill, right? What have I done? I have proven that belief to be true. It is now clear in objective reality that people can judge me of, damn, what a loser that dude is. Here's the thing. In the beginning, it was just my belief as a result of whatever toll, trauma, abuse, heartbreak, or loss that happened to me that caused me to change forever and flip my switch. Oh, damn, I'm a loser. Now I've gone out and proved it to be true. Through the cycle of addiction, boom, it's objective reality. It has experience backing it up. It has evidence for all to see. That's powerful. So, addiction is a spell. It's like once we enter into the current of the cycle of addiction, and whether or not we are aware of our belief, I'm a loser, whether that's conscious or most of the time it is subconscious, it is driving us. And this drive is that current. This drive of the belief is the spell. This is the enchantment that keeps us going and then proving the belief to be right. Here's the thing. Addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie. This lie is a belief. Well, Randy, how can you say that this spell is a lie when I've gone out and proven it to be true for everybody? That's the gig, and that's the spell, because here's the key. The only reason why this spell works is because a person believes the lie to be true. It's the belief. And the belief in the lie, I'm a loser. Waking up the next day, even with all that evidence, there's still the opportunity to prove that lie as a lie. The only reason why it manifests is because a person believes it and then turns it into reality by acting according and through the cycle of addiction. If we don't believe the lie, if we don't believe this original lie, and we see that it has just been inflicted upon us and we've adopted it because of the toll, it's not part of our identity. We made it part of our identity through that belief in it and then proved it to be true through the cycle of addiction. If we withdraw and take our power back, oh, it is a belief. I am dirty. I'm a loser. I am unlovable. I got to tell you, when I would do this exercise in groups in addiction treatment facilities, it would be almost comical, and it's always wonderful to bring in humor when things get this deep. Sometimes it can be a wonderful medicine to everybody else in the group. When a person would say, maybe for the first time, their lie, their belief that drives them, it's amazing how what is presented to the world and how other people see them is usually the direct opposite of what that belief is. And of course, sometimes that is because we strive, like if the belief is I am weak, well then maybe I go out and I spend all my time at the gym. But then that becomes the addiction. But it never silences the belief. So the bodybuilder has the belief I am weak. what would happen is it would be the professional model who has the belief, I am unattractive. And it usually comes across in much harsher terms than that, right? So addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie. This lie is a belief. The only reason why addiction works, the only reason why the spell of addiction works, is because a person believes the lie. Once we see the lie for what it is, and we gain objectivity, again, this is why I love the shamanic journey. We get separation. Whatever meditation practice you have, generally speaking, one of the tenets is to have an observer, to have that part of yourself that is observing what is going, oh, that's my thoughts. That's my feelings. Those were my actions. That's a belief. It's not I. I am dirty. I am weak. I am unlovable. Those things are all rolled up into a ball, which is the spell, which causes the snowball to roll downhill, which powers that current of the river when you jump into, and it just powers you through the cycle of addiction. No, the first thing we do is we get the separation. I am not my thoughts. I am not my feelings. I am not the actions that I've done. I am not my beliefs. And this is something that I go off on time and time again with my clients, and I revisit myself to keep things clear moving forward in life. I love the method of the shamanic journey. So there is that part of me, that aspect of my spirit in the language that I use, that is doing the journey, that is journeying, that is participating in non-ordinary reality, in the journey, doing the work of spirit and power, and returning with that information, knowledge, and healing power so I can apply it for myself, for my clients, to bring these gifts into the world. That's what I need to do. You don't need to use that language, but sometimes the language of a different perspective, addiction is a spell. Interesting. Maybe that can provide you with a new kind of perspective that will work for you in whatever your next steps are on your path of recovery. I like to say, let me make sure I get this one right. Give me a second here. It's when you change your perception of medicine, the medicine of perception changes you. I love that little tagline I've come up with there. When you change your perception of medicine, the medicine of perception changes you. When we change our perspective, everything changes. And that's one of the beauties of shamanism. That's one of the beauties of adopting a different idea, perspective, belief, you'll get something different. And maybe that difference will work for you in an ongoing fashion in your recovery, or maybe it's something that just works for you now. Oh, that medicine shamanic journey, that was amazing for me gaining insight into this belief, and I got the separation. Now I can take it and I can apply it to my 12 steps, my psychotherapy, my smart recovery. Hey, whatever works for you, good. Addiction is a spell. This spell is a lie. This lie is a belief. The only reason why the belief works and turns into manifestation is because we believe the lie to be true. When we believe that lie to be true, we participate in the cycle of addiction and prove it to be true, giving evidence and objective reality for everybody else to go, oh, well, see, I told you you are a fill in the blank. That's how it perpetuates itself. That's how the spell continues. That's how addiction's cycle continues, planting the seeds for the next go-round by reinforcing that belief. I hope this podcast and this idea of addiction as a spell lands with you in a way that brings a new perspective for you and maybe how you can dismantle any limiting core beliefs, any of these beliefs that are no longer serving your highest good. Well, maybe it's time to let go of them. Maybe it helps you see the belief for what it is, maybe for the first time. Hey, I am not that. Interesting. That's just a belief. Wonderful. Any questions, comments, concerns you might have, please send them my way. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, blessings. Thanks for listening to the Sober Shaman Podcast, where we explore ways to make the spiritual practical. Please subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts. Send me any questions or comments you have. Check out the website, randalllyons.com. I look forward to hearing from you. Until next time, blessings.